Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening. Welcome to Encouragementology. This is Kendall Boyson. I'm so excited to be here with you tonight to talk a little bit about healthy boundaries. We're also going to be featuring an independent group called Escaping Pavement. This is a bluegrass duo of Emily Burns and Aaron Markowitz. I was fortunate enough to host them earlier this year for a house concert, and they are amazing. Delightful people and oh so talented. I'll be telling you more about their journey as independent artists out there doing their thing and also playing three of their tunes. So I hope you will enjoy that. So on this show, we are going to be talking about establishing healthy boundaries. You know, you change for two reasons. Either you learn enough that you want to, or you've been hurt enough that you have to. So do you identify with that statement? Are you learning and changing, or would you say it's more of a trial and error? Someone once told me that learning through most of our life comes from experiences. And then in others, later in life, we hit a season of enlightenment. Where are you? You know, I hit a season of enlightenment. I was out there doing my thing early on, struggling to just make my way in the world and make my career, raise a family, all of those good things. And I always knew that I had positivity at the core of my life. And I always wondered why. You know, I went through a lot of trials and tribulations, but for some reason, I was able to just let those things go, get over it, and move forward. And I finally hit this moment in my life where I thought, you know, somebody's trying to tell me something. I need to take this gift that I've been given, and I need to try to influence other people, maybe let other people see a different way of thinking about things. So I did a lot of research about where I could share positivity, and I started by reaching out to women in the community. So if you're not familiar with what I do, I'm a life and recovery coach here in Southern Illinois, and I work with two women outreach programs. So I found out that I wanted to use these gifts to help women see a better way. Just a better way of looking at things. You know, again, we change for two reasons, right? We either have learned enough that we want to, or we've been hurt enough that we have to. And so through these outreach programs, I've really been able to connect with a lot of different people and find a little bit more about their journey and help them see maybe a different way to look at things. And together, we've learned from each other. It's so exciting. I do an outreach program called Women Connect, and I do a couple of support groups, one in Anna at Bethany Village, and then I also do one at Gateway Drug Rehab here in Carbondale. So really excited to be a part of that. I also run a job-seeking workshop, just helping women get back into the workforce. But I know I have some male listeners, so I just want you to know it's not all about women. I'm using this positivity through Encouragementology just to reach out and find new ways. And I'm so excited about the WDBX show and being able to reach so many people on a weekly basis. So do you identify with that statement? I mean, learning to see over the wall is experience. Understanding the wall was never actually there is realization. And living as if the wall was never really there is true enlightenment. Wow. There's a lot of stages that we have to go through. On this show, we're going to be talking about walls, fences, and gates. Well, metaphorically, that is. We're going to be talking about boundaries, healthy boundaries, and the need for them. You know, a boundary is a line that marks a limit. Healthy boundaries, meaning knowing and understanding what your limits are. Okay, so developing a healthy boundary is establishing a system of rules that protect you from overextending yourself and being taken advantage of or harmed. So if your nature is to nurture and take care of others, it's easy for those boundaries to be fuzzy or unclear, leaving you open and vulnerable. Can you recall a time where your limits have been tested? Do you feel your boundaries are frequently crossed or violated? How strong is your perimeter? Think about it that way. Is it a moat of water all the way around yourself? Is it a high wall? We're going to be talking a lot about that. See if this sounds like you. You're always being asked to volunteer, make something, or join a committee. It wouldn't be so bad because you love helping, but it just seems like it's every time, and usually it's at the last minute. But you never complain, or at least not out loud. You just stop what you're doing and you get it done. You're starting to feel a little like you're always being taken advantage of and expected to be free and ready to help. Or what about this one? Your friends and family are always borrowing money or wanting to borrow your stuff. You use the word borrow loosely because they never give it back. It would be nice if it were a two-way street, but when you ask, they're always busy or they don't have it. Why can't you just say no? Or what about this one? My family or significant other are always telling me what to do. They don't even ask my opinion. And when I do say something, I'm told that's stupid or it won't work. I just go along with it to keep the peace, but now I'm doubting my ideas and my thoughts. It's best I just keep my mouth shut. Now there's hope for each one of these scenarios. There are ways to give without giving too much and being taken for granted. There are healthy ways to set limits so that others can understand what is and is not acceptable. And there are ways to assert yourself and trust in your own abilities. See, I'm pretty agreeable. I typically agree first, and then I catch myself and say, wait, no, I don't really want to do that. Here's what I'd like to do. But I do that because I don't want to let people down. And I know a lot of you feel that exact way. Do you wish you could just put your foot down sometimes and say no? Many of us feel compelled to agree to every request and would rather juggle a million jobs than accept help, even if we're left with no time to ourselves. But learning to say no can actually earn you respect. You may feel like me, saying no is uncaring or selfish, and you're worried about letting people down. On top of this, you may have a fear of being disliked or criticized or risking a friendship. Do you feel like that? Interestingly, the ability to say no is closely linked to self-confidence. People with low self-confidence and self-esteem often feel nervous about irritating others and tend to rate others' needs higher than their own. You may be taking nurturing to a whole new level. It's a very fine line between caregiving and caretaking. If you feel like me, a people pleaser, your self-worth may come dependent on what you do for other people. It's a vicious circle when you're constantly trying to please someone else and comply with their wishes. Being unable to say no can make you exhausted and stressed and irritable. So here are some ways you can start putting your foot down. You can start by keep your response simple. If you want to say no, be firm and direct. Use phrases like, "Thanks for coming to me, but I'm afraid it's not convenient right now." Or, "I'm sorry, but I can't help you this evening." Try to be strong in your body language and don't over-apologize. Remember, you're not asking permission to say no. Or try buying yourself some time. Interrupt the yes cycle by using phrases like, "I'll get back to you." This would give you some time to really consider your options. Once you've had a chance to think it through, you'll be able to say no with a little more confidence. Or why don't you consider a compromise? Now, only do this if you want to agree with the request, but have limited time or ability. So you could suggest alternatives that maybe would suit you both. Avoid compromising if you really just wanted to say no. How about separate refusal from rejection? Remember, you're turning down a request, not a person. People usually understand it's your right to say no. just as much as it's their right to ask the favor of you. And don't feel guilty for saying no to your children. It's important for them to hear the word no from time to time so that they develop some sort of sense of self-control. It's hard to negotiate adult life without this important skill. Rather than caving into their protests, let them know who's in charge by setting a healthy boundary. And be true to yourself. Be clear and honest with yourself about what you truly want. Get to know yourself better and examine what you really want from life. Establishing clear boundaries will define yourself in relation to others. To do this, you must be able to identify and respect your needs, feelings, opinions, and rights. So you see, saying no is okay. It's still not my knee-jerk reaction, and I'm sure it's not yours either. I mean, we really want to please people. We want to be liked. We want to be respected, but we have to earn that respect by first respecting ourselves. So tonight, we are going to be talking about all types of different boundaries. And I want you to think about your boundaries, and I want you to think about where you might feel that they get a little crossed over, right? It could be a family member. It could be a friend. Do you have that friend that's always asking more of you than you're willing to give? Maybe you're not taken seriously because you're not demanding that respect or that understanding. We're going to talk about a lot of those different things. But first, we are going to listen to a little bit of Escaping Pavement. I'm excited to play them for you. You know, they're from Detroit. They went from Detroit to Pasadena to the high seas and then back to Detroit. It's only when singer-songwriter duo Emily Burns and Aaron Markowitz escaped the neon blitz and car-strewn concrete of the city that they discovered how well their music could bloom when they brought it back to their roots. This is one of my favorite songs from them, Winter Homecoming. This is Escaping Pavement.
Uneasy lately, I said as I walked through the door to come inside.
It's been rough around here, going through all of this alone. Come in, shut the door, it's bitter cold outside.
Now the halfway painted, smoke tinged and faded walls surrounded me as I gazed into some photographs and frames. I came upon a feeling way down deep inside of me. So nothing here is ever gonna change. For we've been waiting on a man who's passed away to come walking through that door. Even though I know that cannot be, but maybe they're gonna make an exception for me.
It's been a long year with you away. Don't you feel like coming home to stay?
Hope my feelings are fading more each day. Summertime, please make it here okay. City, many people come and go, and in this city things have come undone. I don't know many people who would like to call it home, but God, I know I'm not the only one.
It's been a long year with you
summertime, please make it here okay. Summertime, please make it here okay.
So we are talking about healthy boundaries and the need for establishing those. Before the break, we talked a lot about what it feels like to say no and how hard that can be sometimes. Saying no can be awkward, uncomfortable, and really just downright difficult. After all, it's human nature to want to be liked. And what better way to be liked than to make people happy by saying yes? Not only do we want to be liked, we want to avoid the feelings of guilt or shame that often come from the word no. Let's face it, it feels good to be needed. So the last thing we want is for people to stop needing us because we always say no to them. And so we say yes, far too often, to too many things. And then we try to deal with all the stress and then the anxiety that comes with that. But hey, at least we're feeling needed, right? How many of us overly justify our no once we've said it? How many of those justifications are actually honest? I, for one, have a really hard time with this. I can't just say no. You may not hear the awkward silence. It may not even exist for you, but for me, it's deafening. An appropriate answer might be, no, I can't. I'm sorry. But I just can't leave it there. For whatever reason, I have to tell you why. And then I have to give you another apology, followed by some additional details that you may or may not want. We do this because we don't want to disappoint or anger the other person. We don't want any confrontation. I always shy away from confrontation. I'm getting a little bit better about that as I get older. In business, I'm really good about it. I don't mind standing up for myself and really going to the bat for something that I believe in. But personally, I don't like confrontation. I don't want people to be mad at me or disappointed. And sometimes I obsess over it. I don't know if you guys feel that way too, but if I know I disappointed, or even if I feel like I disappointed someone, that may not even be reality, but for me, I feel like I have, and so I'll rack my brain over and over again. What could I have done differently? You know? And then if I were to just take time and analyze a situation and think about the moment, I would realize all I did was say no, which was good for me. So how can you be assertive without being confrontational? I mean, that's what we're really all wondering, right? Most people who have a hard time creating and maintaining boundaries are just avoiding confrontation. Why does something healthy for you equal doing something harmful for someone else? It isn't really, but in our minds, we create this scenario that our refusal will let everyone else down. This stems from worrying about everyone else's comfort level over our own. So let's first define some different types of behaviors. See which one you might feel most comfortable with. First, there is non-assertive behavior. So non-assertive behavior occurs when one individual does not stand up for their rights. A non-assertive person may have a tendency to say yes to situations, whether they agree with them or not. A non-assertive person's rights are negatively impacted because they may not express honesty or their thoughts or their beliefs. When a non-assertive person does express these things, they're often disregarded because they may be spoken in a non-confident or apologetic manner. Individuals who are involved in non-assertive communication look to avoid conflict and just appease others. Does that resonate with you? Is that something that you do? Are you able to really stand up and say something assertive, or do you back down quickly? What about aggressive behavior? Aggressive behavior occurs when one individual's rights take precedence over the rights of another, and it may involve an attack on another person. The goal of aggression is often domination. In aggression, one individual typically communicates in a way that disrespects or devalues another individual, along with their thoughts, ideas, and opinions. Can we admit, are we a bully in our behavior? Do we sort of run over someone else's ideas and assert our own? Could we consider that being aggressive, pushy? I like to say I'm politely persistent instead of pushy. What about assertive behavior? Assertive behavior is a behavior where one individual is able to communicate their needs, desire, and expectations while still respecting another individual's rights. Assertive individuals give and get respect from others. They also are fair in their communication, and they allow for compromise when the needs of two individuals are in conflict. And remember, although we communicate with words, we often communicate more non-verbally than verbally. So voice tone and body language are very important factors to keep in mind in communication, especially in confrontation, because you can say all the right things, but if you come off as meek or hostile, your words may not obtain the desired outcome. So learning to set healthy personal boundaries is necessary for maintaining a positive self-concept or self-image. Think about it. Your self-concept is how you view yourself. How you view yourself first will help you relate to those around you. Your self-concept is built upon perception, upon how you perceive yourself based on the knowledge you have gained over a lifetime of experience. This perception you have of yourself is based on the information you've gathered about your values, life roles, goals, skills, and abilities over time. Once you have a healthy self-concept, you have the basis for a strong personal foundation. But to truly understand what self-concept is and how it impacts your life, we first need to break down the three components of self-concept. These three components are based on the work from humanist psychologist Carl Rogers. Okay, so the first is your self-image. This is how you see yourself in the present moment. This includes the labels you give yourself about your personality and the beliefs you have about the world and how it perceives you. Okay, so it's important to know that your self-image isn't necessarily based on reality. For instance, a person with anorexia may have the self-image that makes them believe that they're obese. However, in reality, that's not true. So it's important to recognize that a self-image is only your perception of your own self. It has no basis on reality. So how do you view yourself? Think about that. What would you say if you were describing you to someone else? It's always good to do that exercise. What would you say when you're describing you? And then what would your friend, loved one, say about you when they're describing you? So your self-ideal, that's the next one. Your self-ideal is how you wish you could be in a future time. This is your ideal self or the ideal person you envision on being or becoming. Many times how people see themselves is how they would like to see themselves. And those two things don't quite match up. And this is precisely what causes problems and can lead to self-sabotaging behaviors, patterns, or even emotional struggles. Okay, so that's your self-ideal. The last one is your self-esteem. Your self-esteem encompasses your current emotional experiences. It refers to the extent in which you like or approve yourself or value yourself. An unhealthy self-concept is something that often drags us down in life. It's something that limits our opportunities, desires, or access to essential resources, and it undermines our potential. When we have low value of ourselves, we typically lack the confidence we need to create a healthy boundary, and most importantly, respect that healthy boundary. Setting strong guidelines for how you expect to be treated helps you regain your power and gives others a clear expectation. So remember those three types. That's your self-image, the way you see yourself. Self-ideal is how you would like to be perceived, what you would like to be, and then your self-esteem, your current emotional experiences. All so important to create a personal health, healthy boundary. Okay, so we're covering a lot tonight. We're covering a lot about boundaries, and I hope you're visualizing what it's going to take to make a healthy boundary for yourself and how to really respect that. That's an important part of what we're doing here. It's all about going internally and really thinking about your own wants, needs, and desires and how to get there. So many times we think about everyone else, we're the last person on the list. If we don't take care of ourselves, who's going to take care of us? So I also want to take another break. We are going to listen to another song. And I want to tell you a little bit more about Escaping Pavement. They're so awesome. They're really a fun couple, by the way. I said that in the beginning that they were delightful, and they certainly were. Super, super talented. My cat, who is more like a dog than actual cat, met them at their car when they pulled in, rolled over in the driveway, let them scratch his belly immediately. So I knew that this was a really cool couple. He also found a nice little home in the mandolin box. So I want to talk a little bit more about them. Their romance together came only after they started singing songs together, having met in 2005 as teenagers at an open mic night. From there, they would continue collaborating in several other bands together. But they stepped up their game when they both got accepted to the Los Angeles College of Music. So we're going to play a little bit more. This is from their album, The Night Owl, and this is called Fuel the Fire.
Why'd you call me out? You call me out, why'd you call me out tonight?
Heard your name on the wind, it was something I could not fight. Oh, something I could not fight.
No place where the river is wide and the water runs deep and cold. Just the way I would feel if I lost you, and I hope I never know. Well, I hope I never know. Bother waiting round, he's already got me in his sight. He's already got me in his sight. We don't need to fuel the fire, it's already burning red hot coals. We don't need the desire, it's already found a soul. Morning, life before things get out of control.
to burn in red hot coal. We don't need to be desires already found us all on its own. Please, oh love, bring the morning light before things get out of control.
We are talking about establishing healthy boundaries. And before the break, we talked about building a healthy self-image, self-esteem. Really, to be able to expect others to respect your boundary, you need to respect it first. So you really need to get in touch with your personal boundary and what you're going to expect from others. You know, setting strong guidelines for how you expect to be treated helps you regain your power and gives others a clear expectation. But here's the key. You can't just say it one time and expect everyone to respect your wishes. You have to lead by example and then stay firm. If you say one thing and then you bend when you feel weak or guilty, you create that level of expectation. Well, that's what she says, but it's not really what she means, right? How many times do you get run over that way? When you communicate consequences, you need to be ready to follow through. This is a situation where it's essential that what you say is consistent with what you do. If your boundaries are set, are ignored, tested, or otherwise violated, and you don't follow through on your consequences that you've communicated, the other person learns your words are meaningless, and they will be even more likely to disrespect your boundaries. If your behavior doesn't match the boundaries that you set, if you don't practice what you preach, then you send mixed messages that confuse and undermine your boundaries. This also makes it less likely that your boundaries will be respected. So visualize building this boundary around you at a healthy and safe distance. Okay, so are you visualizing that? How tall is it? Do you need a wall or will a fence do? What did you use to build your boundary? Okay, so the next story I'm going to tell you is a story that's very similar to the three pigs and their different types of houses. Do you remember that story? How there were three different types of houses. There were also three different types of chairs for Goldilocks. I don't know. Fairy tales seem to have a theme that way, but we're going to talk about three types of houses, okay, or fences. The first one is too rigid. For those who have boundaries that are too rigid, they literally shut out everyone from their lives. They build tall walls instead of fences. They appear aloof and distant. They don't want to talk about feelings or show emotions. They exhibit extreme self-sufficiency and do not ask for help. They do not allow anyone to get physically or emotionally close to them. Do you have a rigid house? Is it too rigid? Okay, maybe this is you. The second house is too loose. For those who have boundaries that are too loose, they don't understand personal space, getting too close to others without permission, or letting others get too close to them too fast. They may take on feelings of others as their own, easily becoming emotionally overwhelmed, giving too much, taking too much, and being inconsistent in reassurance. They may expect others to read their minds, think they can read the minds of others, say yes when they mean no, and feel responsible for others' feelings. Those with loose boundaries often lead chaotic lives, full of drama, as they live in houses with no fences, gates, locks, or even doors. Is your house too loose? Does everybody just come and go as they please and take advantage? Okay. How about the third one, which is just right? Those with healthy boundaries are firm but flexible. They give support and they accept it. They respect their feelings, needs, opinions, rights, and those of the others. But they're clear about the separateness. They are responsible for their own happiness and allow others to be responsible for their happiness. They're assertive, and they are respectful of the rights of others to be assertive as well. They're able to negotiate and compromise, have empathy for others, are able to make mistakes without damaging their self-esteem, and they have a sense of personal identity. They respect diversity. Those with healthy boundaries are comfortable with themselves and make others comfortable around them. They live in houses with fences and gates that allow access, but only to those who respect their boundaries. What kind of house do you live in? Which one do you really respond to? I mean, we'd all like the third house, the house that's just right. But it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. It's something that you're going to have to work on. And you may be stronger in some of your boundaries and looser in others. Let's personally evaluate that. Where are you too rigid and where are you too loose? It doesn't have to be just one boundary. Personal boundaries affirm where you end and other people begin, making it possible for you to separate your own needs and interests from those of others. If you feel resentful or victimized and are blaming someone or something, it may mean that you haven't been setting healthy boundaries for yourself. You know, I often use the visualization, I think I might have done this on the show before, but draw a line. Okay, do a horizontal line first, long horizontal line, and then do a vertical line right in the middle. Okay, so that's the middle. You've got two sides. Are you with me? Okay, put yourself on one side. Now, if your boundaries are too loose, you're going to go up to the line, up to the center, and then over the line, causing other people not to have to do as much work to meet you. You know, you've heard those terms, meet in the middle. If you're constantly going over that line, you're requiring the other person to do less work for the relationship. If you back up, you decide, I'm being taken advantage of. This doesn't work for me anymore. So now you back up to the line and you even take a step past the line. So you're back over on your side. Are you still with me? How are they going to get over there? They're not used to getting over there. You've made it so easy for them not to work at it. So when you're feeling like you're taken advantage of, you need to look internally and see why that's happening. What have you done to allow those boundaries to be crossed so severely? When you set boundaries with others, it's important to be matter of fact and respectful as possible. It's helpful to be clear and firm with regard to what you will and won't accept. No long explanations or justifications are necessary. Remember, you can't set a boundary and take care of someone else's feelings at the same time. If others get upset with you, that's their problem. Your responsibility is to communicate your boundary, and that's it. This is your only responsibility. You're not responsible for the other person's reaction to the boundaries you set. If it upsets them, it's their responsibility. If they no longer want your friendship, then you're probably better off without them. You don't need friends who disrespect your boundaries. Boundaries are to protect you. So you're going to want a friend that respects that and understands your need for that safe and healthy boundary. When you set boundaries with people who are controlling or manipulative or are simply unaccustomed to it, you can expect them to test these new boundaries. Be prepared to communicate the consequences for the other person if they violate the boundaries that you've set. So what is your boundary? Is your boundary, maybe it involves time to yourself. You want to create a boundary, keeps people at bay so that you have time for yourself. That's great. Schedule it. Make it reoccurring. Make it a habit. Maybe your boundary is about respect and how people speak to you. If that's the case, you need to model that in your own daily communication. Lead by example. If your boundary is about having the ability to say no, exercise it. Start small, but be firm. You know, you don't have to, I don't know if you've seen the movie with Jim Carrey, The Yes Man. You know, he's decided to turn his life around and say yes to everything. Now, I'm not suggesting you say no to everything, but you definitely, instead of just a knee-jerk reaction to please someone, you definitely need to evaluate what's being asked of you and make sure that that's something that's good for you and something that you want to do. You know, you have the ability to say no. It's your life as well, and you want to do things that are good for you, not only productive for you, but fun for you. So don't always feel that necessary jerk to say yes. What if your boundary is about eliminating toxic people? Take a moral inventory, and whether it's family, friend, or coworker, if they are consistently adding negativity to your life, take a step back and create distance. You know, a good place to do this is social media, for sure. You know, we want to accept everybody. Do you do that? You get a friend request and you feel guilty if you don't say yes. Why is that? Why do we feel that way? I mean, let's evaluate what a friend is. You know, now do you have the responsibility? Let's say you add them. Do you have the responsibility of always liking their stuff or commenting because you feel like now that they're a friend, I feel responsible to do that? Why do we put these things on ourselves? You have the right to say no. It's your social media account. But that's just one area to do it. But definitely take a look at what a friend is and how productive that friend is for your life. Is that something that you need? Does it add joy to your life? Is it bringing you joy and pleasure? So we are going to listen to another song by Escaping Pavement. I hope you've enjoyed them tonight. I love playing independent artists. If you're just joining Encouragementology, I typically want to give you a little self-help, so a little new perspective, but I also like to support independent artists. It's personal to me, and I believe they're just so wonderfully talented. They're out there doing their thing day in and day out. A lot of times they're traveling all over the country, really not getting the financial rewards for the amount of talent that they have. And so anything that I can do to get their information out there and have you check them out, I definitely want to do. So Escaping Pavement started in 2012. They released their debut Uprooted album in the summer of 2013. With the stomp of drums and the growl of the guitars giving it more of a blues rock feel. However, soon after, Burns and Markowitz felt their inspirations being drawn toward the sounds of folk, country, bluegrass, and Americana. And so Escaping Pavement became a duo with unplugged string instruments and centered on the surest magic of their musical collaboration, their voices in melodic unison. So this is from their album Uprooted, and it is called Here Again.
Cares about them, so now we're
and this is Encouragementology. Didn't you enjoy Escaping Pavement? I hope you will check them out at escapingpavement.com and see their tour. They are all over the country. They do big shows and they also do house concerts. And if you've never had a house concert, it's amazing. It's a great chance to get up close and personal with independent artists, really learn more about their stories. It's just really so much more intimate. And you can contact them on their website if you would like to be a destination for them. So they're lots of fun. So getting back to establishing healthy boundaries, that's what we've been talking about all night. I really appreciate you staying with me tonight. We've covered a lot of material, so I think it's time to actually recap what we've been talking about. So we've been talking about the need for building a boundary. Once you're feeling taken advantage of, once you, you know, feel like there's always something you're being asked to do and it's not really what you want to do, or you feel shame or guilt or anxiety, maybe start looking inside and start creating that boundary, pushing yourself away from those situations. You know, why do we even get stuck in those situations to begin with? A lot of times it has to do with people pleasing, right? Not being able to say no. We tend to say yes. And once people get used to that, remember that line we visualized, once you get over that line too many times, people will start taking you for granted. I mean, who wouldn't? You know, if you always do something and someone doesn't have to do it, I mean, isn't it just human nature to go ahead and let you do it? You're always there. You're always making it happen. I always use the visualization too of playing outfield. So let's say you're playing outfield. And I know really nothing about baseball, but I do know the positions. And let's say you're playing center field. And instead of just playing your position and catching what comes out to you, you go over to left field, and then you go to right field, and then you go to shortstop, and then you go to second, and you're all over the field. And then the one time you don't do it and the ball falls, let's say in one of those other positions I mentioned, everybody looks at you and they're like, why didn't you get that? And you're saying, I'm sorry, that's not my position. I play center field. And they'll say, since when? You've been all over the field all night. So again, that's just one reason to stay in your lane, for instance. But what happens when we make our boundaries and then we go overboard and we make them either too rigid or maybe even too loose? I had a friend one time, I was coaching her, and she said something about she had walls. You know, she had a situation in her life and she, you know, felt taken advantage of. And so she built a big wall. She went totally to the other side and wasn't allowing people to come in. So we talked about fences, like the fences, like a picket fence that you can actually see through versus a wall, a privacy fence that you can't see through. You know, when is it time to take down the wall and start putting the fence up so that you can actually see who's on the other side and be able to make that decision of whether to allow them to come in or not to come in, right? You know, a lot of times if you are in that position where you've had a bad situation and you've really, you know, it's time to shut everything off, go inside, be introspective and, you know, take evaluation. That's okay. You can build a healthy wall to keep people out for a while so that you have a chance to sort of sever those bad habits and start fresh. And that's perfectly fine. You know, in order to do that, once you go inside and you think about what you need to do, it starts with a healthy self-concept. We talked about that. You can't build this fence or this healthy boundary on a loose foundation, right? You need a personal foundation first. So that comes with going inside and really understanding yourself and how do you view yourself? You know, if you don't have a healthy self-image, how do you expect someone else to have that? You know, have you ever talked to someone that just exudes self-confidence? You know, it's electric, it's infectious. You want to be around that person. You know, think about the person who doesn't have the healthy self-concept. You know, the one that's always down on themselves, that generalizes the way they feel, ugh, it's always this way, or I'm always messing up, or I'm always doing this. You know, what about the martyr? What about the person that always says yes, but then always crabs about it? Do you have those people in your life? You know, where you feel like, oh, I know she's going to want to do it, or she's going to get mad if I don't ask, but then I feel like I'm taking advantage. So there's all types of healthy and non-healthy self-image, self-concept, self-esteem. So we want to be the person that is electric, you know, that has a healthy self-image, self-concept. In order to do that, we have to find it ourselves. We can't get that from other people. You know, how other people feel about you is not always the way that you feel about yourself. They can say it all the time. You're so great. You're so fun to be around. If you don't feel that way, you're not going to internalize that and you're not going to believe it. So it starts with understanding yourself first. Go inside, find gratitude for what you do well. Okay. And it may be breaking it down piece by piece. If you look at yourself as one whole person and you have one image, that's probably false. Break it down. Okay. So maybe you don't like the way you laugh, or you don't like the way that you start a conversation, or find what you do like about yourself. Start building from there. So start with the positive thing. You can pick one thing. There has to be one thing about yourself that you enjoy and you would like to pass on. So, or build off of. Find that first, and then like a little building block, add the next one, and then the next one. Once you've developed a good, healthy self-concept, you can then build a boundary that will help you maintain that. And then you can effectively communicate your boundary. That is so important. No one's going to respect your boundary if you don't communicate it properly. And then it's important to stick with it. Practice what you preach. Do what you say, right? Or no one is going to take it seriously and they're going to cross that line every time, just to test you, to see if you're going to back down, if you're willing to loosen or disregard your own boundary. So it's important that you communicate it properly and in a respectful way. You don't have to be mean about it, but just in a respectful way, and then stick with it. Creating a healthy boundary is about taking care of yourself, preventing negativity, and adding space for things that bring you joy. If you're focusing on everyone else and not focusing on yourself, then it's time to create a healthy boundary, to find some space in there where you can start focusing on yourself and what brings you joy. Pleasing everyone else might feel good for the moment, but it's not sustainable. It's not going to bring you joy over the long haul. It's important to find what's important to you. And in order to do that, you're going to have to take some time, be with yourself, and understand what makes you happy. So I challenge you to make a list, evaluate what's bringing you joy and what is preventing it. Don't get overwhelmed with thoughts of total life makeover. Just take one thing at a time and start building your boundary. When you're challenged, refer to this list. It's up to you to hold your perimeter. When you do this consistently, the attacks will come fewer and fewer. I know you can do it.
Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you. How I wound up here. All I needed was a rock that I could lean on. All you needed was some wind beneath your wings. We might be seeing things from different points of view, but that don't